Morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is William Jones. I represent the defendant appellant, Dominic Miller. I brought this appeal based upon the experience we had at sentencing, asserting that the judge just didn't articulate any specific reasons for her finding as it relates to a massive amount of meth that she applied to my client, Dominic Miller, that I felt was and argued was entirely related to a co-defendant but not Dominic Miller. The only reason that was articulated was, well, I'm going to adopt the PSR, and so that circles back to what the PSR said in response to my objections, which was, hey, you know, Amy Wagner's not reliable. She gave a statement to police while in custody after getting busted with some meth and tried to deflect blame to Dominic Miller. The other police reports indicate these other people were dealing individually with Amy Wagner, not with Dominic Miller. This isn't even reliable, and you shouldn't be using her and only her comments to police to conclude that large amounts of methamphetamine are part of Dominic Miller's relevant conduct. The only response that I got from the PSR preparer was, well, I don't have any reason not to believe her, and that was it. And so if the court says I adopt the PSR preparer's reasons, that's not articulating a reason why she thinks that such a large amount of drugs should apply to Dominic Miller's relevant conduct.
If we agree with the government that Miller and Wagner were in a joint enterprise, there would not be any dispute that Miller's relevant conduct involved more than 500 grams of meth, right?
Yes, except as long as you felt that it was reasonably foreseeable. And based on her testimony, it seemed to me that the government called her as a witness at trial. She came and said, well, what I would do is I was going up and buying a large amount of meth in the Twin Cities, then driving it down. First stop is I would drop the lion's share, based on a cross-exam. She admitted, yeah, the lion's share of it. We never really talked specifics to this one client. Then the rest I'd give, I'd give to Dominic. She said one time he was there with me and he stayed in the car. So I don't know about the reasonable foreseeability of it either. But I think that the government is arguing that somehow I waived an argument that, well, I never objected to the claim that they were in a joint enterprise. That argument, when I read that in their opposition, was kind of like, are you kidding me? That's really all I was saying is her relevant conduct's not his relevant conduct. He's a meth user. She's a big source of methamphetamine, and she's the dealer. My issue, though, really is I don't know that the judge articulated enough reason for you to do your job. I appreciate that you give deference to her decision, but in this particular case, all that I can really deduce is the response that I got from the PSR preparer says, well, we don't really have a reason not to believe her. And I think those are the precise words, even though I did give a reason. So I'd like to hear why my reasoning isn't persuasive. Several other people that were buying from Amy Wagner said, yeah, you know, I'd buy a lot from her, and then I'd buy a little from Dominic, or I'd sell a little bit to him. But they seem to speak in different terms as far as the two of them. I also wanted to comment on the opposition brief that I didn't mention in the reply brief because I didn't know about its significance, but I didn't want to ignore it either. In reviewing and preparing for today, I see that they mentioned that this video camera, which, you know, I've been a defense attorney for a while now, so I don't say, you know, this is the most bizarre thing I've ever heard, but it was strange that she had a webcam in her room just recording things, and then when in custody and interviewed, she said, yeah, you should go back to my computer because there's really incriminating stuff in there as far as what goes on in my bedroom. The government indicates that that was done because she thought Dominic Miller was being unfaithful to her or something like that. That's not in the PSR. I think it says that she didn't trust him, and so that cuts against a joint enterprise. It seems to me she would go up and keep it in her room.
You can be in a joint enterprise and not really trust the person you're dealing with. It happens all the time.
Well, sure, but it seems to me that she would keep it under lock.
Trust but verify is what the rule was.
Okay. I suppose that it wouldn't definitively show there wasn't a joint enterprise, but if they were working together and they needed joint access to it, I don't know that you would need to keep your room under camera. But anyway, there are other possible reasons for it other than this idea that it was because she believed that he was unfaithful to him.
Now, you objected to the PSR, like you said, reliance on Amy Wagner's statements and saying she had a motivation to lie, but her statements, wouldn't it have been against her penal interest to inflate the quantities of drugs that had been sold?
Well, she's a, you know, the record shows, and she testified to it at the sentencing, that she's a three-time felon. She's in custody being interviewed about a control buy. Sometimes those people get interviewed and they do inflate it to think, well, I'm giving more, because she is deflecting blame to Dominic in the first time she, Mr. Miller, the first time she's interviewed. So these, you know, those kind of interviews become so unreliable as far as quantities, because they, maybe they think that the more I say, the more that I'll be trusted as being, the more incriminating, the more believable I am. Sometimes I think that may be the case, particularly when you're deflecting blame to someone else. She's,
Mr. Jones, about the amount, is it their testimony that they went, was it to Minnesota every other day?
I think it was a couple times a week. I don't know if it was every other day.
Whatever, for about a month and a half, something like that. So even if you take a single ounce of meth, aren't we getting pretty close just by the math to a pretty substantial number?
Well, I believe she was dealing in substantial amounts of meth. I don't think that her behavior or... He pled guilty to possession of meth, not conspiracy to distribute it or anything like possession of meth. And I understand that co-conspirator, joint enterprise, things like that, but we start with the conviction of possessing on that one day. He's in that bedroom on that video, and they're weighing it and, you know, jointly possessing it at that time, sure. And so then we get this PSR back, and it's saying, well, yeah, he's responsible for 1.5 kilos and all this. So... I don't really dispute so much the amount. I mean, I don't trust Amy Wagner, and that's the only source of info they're relying on. But if you trust her, then that would certainly get to her amounts. I do point out, though, and just to be clear, there is in the PSR discussion of 2013 behavior and meth dealing that was removed as relevant conduct. So that I just wanted to make sure that that significantly reduces, I think, the amount of relevant conduct and meth as it relates to Dominic Miller. So,
you want to save some time, Mr. Jones?
I'll save some time, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. O'Shea.
Good morning. I'm O'Shea for the United States. Just wanted to clarify right off the bat that the methamphetamine that Ms. Wagner was bringing back from Minnesota was not just reasonably foreseen by Dominic Miller, it was actually seen with his own eyeballs. The defendant in his objection says that the whole reason that Mr. Miller, in his document 64, page 3, the whole reason that Mr. Miller associated with Ms. Wagner is because she always had methamphetamine. And as the court, and I respectfully submit that the district court, based on all the facts about the collective whole that Wagner and Miller distributed, all the facts, both the statement that Mr. Miller attached to his pre-sentence objections, plus Ms. Wagner's testimony, the collective whole didn't change. She said, sure, beforehand she said that Mr. Miller did more, but then after she rode to the sentencing with Mr. Miller, she said that she distributed more, but the collective whole didn't change.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yes.
If we agree with you it was a joint venture, a joint enterprise, does the total drug quantity finding depend on Wagner's testimony about how much meth she was buying and selling?
Yes, but not exclusively.
And so what else is there? Because if the total depends on Wagner's testimony, shouldn't the district judge have explained why she rejected Miller's argument that Wagner is an unreliable source of information?
Well,
why don't we have a finding like that?
Well,
the bulk of it, right? You admitted that she's the bulk of it.
Well, it's a funny situation because, as the court points out, before sentencing, Ms. Miller's position was that Wagner was a liar, that she exaggerated. And then at sentencing, you know, they liked the way the testimony went, and they said, well, no, we think she's telling the truth. That put the court in a position where she didn't have to decide. And because her testimony just functionally changed, it didn't change the collective whole, rather. It just changed who distributed more of the collective whole. Then the court was not in a position to have to make a decision about whether she believed it. And let's get back to the math, because this gets back to the eight reasons that the district court was not clearly erroneous. Ms. Wagner testified that while she's in a relationship with Mr. Miller, she obtained methamphetamine every day or two. At the end of the period, they were getting 4 to 6 ounces per trip. Four ounces is 113 grams. Ms. Wagner testified, and this is on the record, that they each, she and Mr. Miller, both had their own customers, but they each had at least 5 shared customers. Ms. Wagner testified that she provided Mr. Miller with whatever quantity of methamphetamine that he needed to deliver. And she also said that they pooled their methamphetamine sales to fuel their shared methamphetamine use. So this was a joint thing, and I respectfully submit that that was not really ever contested. But, like I say, Ms. Wagner is corroborated. Who's she corroborated by? The electronics, and also by Mr. Hover. Mr. Hover corroborated Ms. Wagner's statement. He said that Miller and Wagner came twice, and in those two times, together, those two times, she got 6 ounces. That's 340 grams right there. Also, there's electronic evidence where Ms. Wagner is texting Mr. Hover, where it's clear that she's been directed to pick up from Mr. Hover for Mr. Miller. And then there's Mr. Miller's 2014 text to an informant offering to sell a whole ounce of methamphetamine shortly before they're arrested. And as the court points out, my last point on this is Ms. Wagner was profoundly providing statements against her own penal interest. She was sentenced the same day to 10 years, and she was sentenced for 1.5 kilograms of methamphetamine. And was she trying to curry favor? A person who, for whatever reason, tells the police to go back and pull the video from her computer because it's going to show them weighing out 82 grams of methamphetamine, you can't really say that person's trying to curry favor, really. Why she decided to tell him that, I don't know, but it was obviously pretty compelling evidence of guilt that the officers would not have had but for her admission. So that's it for the United States, unless there's any other questions. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. O'Shea. Mr. Jones?
Thank you. I should also mention that I did raise an issue about the burden of persuasion versus burden of production. I pulled out an old law school book and grasped those two terms. But I think that the judge, what I was trying to say is the judge said, hey, you haven't persuaded me that it was less than 500 grams. And that wasn't the defendant's obligation. They have to produce some evidence. And I did. I produced some counter evidence, and not just in my objection to PSR in reference to other people that were interviewed, but I used the government's witness as production of evidence that's counter to what they were trying to claim, as far as his involvement in what she was doing on her way back from Minnesota. So I think that the judge just was applying the wrong burden of proof in determining the drug weight that was applied to Mr. Miller. I think that's about all I would have. Unless you had any other questions about it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. O'Shea. Mr. Jones, you were appointed in this case, and
yes,
you have the additional thanks of the court for accepting the appointment.
My letter.
The case is taken under advisement.